Today, the sermon is Those Who Mourn, and it strikes me this week that there is so much to mourn. And I had to choose to acknowledge that, and that's part of what I want to talk about this morning. But particularly in this last week or so, just a beginning list. There are folks that are mourning the death and the injustice of the death of Breonna Taylor, the death of Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg. There are folks who are mourning the division in our country and the way that has polarized not only communities, but families and friends. There are folks that are mourning COVID and all of the implications of that for health and for the economy and for employment and many other things. We're mourning uncertainty about the future, whether that be politics or economy or race or our own livelihood. So many uncertainties. We may be mourning not knowing who to trust when it comes to news or truth or justice. There's personal losses that are fears that we mourn, whether that be death itself or jobs or income or relationships or our health. And to all of those things, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. How does that work? What does that mean? Blessed are those who mourn. I mean, is that a good thing to mourn? Jesus seems to think so. And that's just the first half of today's verse. He says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So today I want to focus on two things. I want to talk about what it means to mourn, and I want to talk about what it means to be comforted by God, or to be comforted when we mourn. This past week, I also went to hear a speaker at Myers Park Presbyterian Church, and it was a setting about like this, you know, humongous church, but they only had 12 spots for people to come in person. And I was so grateful to get invited to this, and we were spread out in this huge room. But then I think over 1,000 were watching online. But one of the things the speaker said that stuck in my head, particularly when I started preparing this sermon this week, is she said that often we get stuck because of an inability to mourn. She actually used the word lament, but it's about the same thing in Scripture. We get stuck because of our inability to mourn or to lament. That is, to process our grief or our anger or our fear. So I'll talk briefly about emotions and what we do with them. It was very helpful to me back when I was doing a rotation for chaplaincy in a hospital, and it was all supervised and documented and lots of feedback. One of the things that was very helpful that my chaplain supervisor said to me was that there's really just four basic emotions, and then it's like the color wheel. There's a whole lot that are combinations of those that build off of them. But this, it was so easy to remember, it stuck in my head and been helpful. He said, there's mad, glad, sad, and afraid. Right? Mad, glad, sad, and afraid. And I would suggest that for sad, grief, and in some cases for mad, anger, those are two that we have difficulty sometimes doing something with. Right? There's some of us that with any of our emotions, we just get them out there, right? It's not like we throw them up on people. And that's not always helpful or healthy. It can, in fact, it can hurt other people, depending on how we do that. Others, like me, and I'll admit to being this camp, we just stuff them way down, right? We just mash them down and try to carry on like they're not there. But those emotions don't just magically go away. They can gnaw at you and sometimes even have physical repercussions. Psychologists would tell you what's healthy is to get them out, but in a way that doesn't harm other people, but to express those. When we look at Scripture, it doesn't use those psychological terms, but it has built in for God's people ways of expressing grief and anger. And the biblical term for that is lament, and also mourn, because it's in our text this morning. And so that's one distinction I want to make for you. There's the emotions that we all feel when things in life all around us come at us, right? They can make us mad, glad, sad, or afraid. And the question is, what are we going to do with that, right? Do we lash out at another person? Do we stuff them down? Do we, you know, eat our feelings? How do we process those? And how do we do so in a way that is honoring to God and that God would instruct us to do? And God says, at least here, for grief, for anger, for sad and mad, lament, mourning is a helpful way, a godly way to deal with those. And it can result then in our blessing. So one comparison, and hear me carefully here, one comparison I want to make is to something that we hear all the time at Good Shepherd. And that's when we get to the prayer of confession. We turn to 1 John 1, 8 and 9. And there it says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not with us. But then it says, if we do confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. And it's that idea of if we don't acknowledge our sin, right, we're just lying to ourselves. But if we'll bring it to God, God is faithful and will resolve it. Now, here's the part I want you to hear clearly. Being sad or being mad is not a sin. That's not the comparison I'm making. The comparison I'm making is that if we deny that we have these feelings, if we just bury them or toss them aside, then we're tricking ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Instead, the Bible says, Jesus says, bring them to God, right? Offer them to God. And God will, in the midst of those hard emotions, God will comfort us, will meet us in that place. That's what that's what led me to that Psalm 116 and the song, I Love the Lord, because it invites us. It says, God hears our voice and our supplication. He's inclined his ear. Therefore, I will call upon him. I love the Lord. As long as I live, I'll do this. So when Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, he's inviting us to acknowledge our emotions, and rather than not dealing with them or dealing with them in a problematic way, he says, bring them to God, and God will meet you and comfort you. There's also a pattern in Scripture. I mean, that's you and God. That's me and God. There's also a pattern in Scripture of doing that together, corporately. So just like in the service, we corporately pray a prayer of confession, there are patterns in Scripture of corporately together praying prayers of lament, mourning together, grieving together. And I'll admit, I don't bring enough of that into our services. But something I'm convicted that we need to do more of. So today, when we get to the offering spot, Eric will introduce this on video, but we're going to sing a song that we normally sing all happy and peppy. It's called Trading My Sorrows. And it's fun to play and fun to sing, even though the lyrics are about something very intense and weighty. It's about mourning and being sorrowful. So we're going to sing it today, and we've kind of changed the music and the tempo to make it more reflective and lamenting and to still bring our mourning to God. And if you want to see more of that pattern in Scripture, the Psalms are full of it. They maybe have a title that says Psalm of Lament. That means that psalm was written for the people of God to together express mourning, express their grief, and bring it to God. And when we pray today, I'm going to use one of those psalms with us. So that's what mourning is. It is a holy processing of our human feelings, at least some of them. And Jesus says, blessed are you if you're mourning, because God will comfort you. So I want to talk about what the comfort of God looks like a little bit. In that psalm that they heard, that the choir sang about, we love the Lord, we call upon the Lord, because God is listening. I mean, what a comfort that is, that God hears you. God hears your cries, right? That's describing those emotions, right? God sees and knows. There's that great story when Abraham sends away, or Hagar runs away from Sarah and Abraham. I think she's still pregnant with her son. I don't think he's been born. But she flees because she fears Sarah and her wrath. And God meets her out on the road. And she identifies God, names God as the God who sees, because he has seen my sorrow and my pain. So part of God's comfort is just knowing that we're not alone, that we're not hidden, even if the world seems blind to what's going on in our life, God is not. God sees us and cares. And it, like most Psalms, it repeats it, as folks like to say, repeats it for those in the back. Verse 2 says it all over again. God's inclined his ear, right? He sees us and he hears us. Therefore, it flips it back around. Call on God. As long as you live, call on God because he sees you and he hears you. Lament and mourning can cleanse us. This is part of the blessing, the comfort. It can cleanse our spirit. It can receive our emotions. And it can lead us to mission and action. Wait, what was that last part? We were talking about grief and sorrow and being comforted, and somebody tacked on mission in the end of this. Listen again to Isaiah 61. It's on the front of your bulletin if you want to look at it. This again was kind of the template for Jesus' earthly ministry of comfort, of care. Listen to how Isaiah 61 describes God in multiple terms, comforting those who mourn, but then setting them up to be agents of ministry in the world. And Jesus was chief among those. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. To do what? The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to comfort all who mourn. Right? It's like Jesus, the beatitude is lifted right out of that, to comfort all who mourn. And then a series of images to explain what that comfort looks like. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland, right? Instead of ashes, flowers, beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. The result of that comfort, that healing, that God meeting us in that place, is that they will be called, we will be called, oaks of righteousness, those that the Lord has planted and rooted so that God may be glorified. Right? The end result of this blessing of those who mourn is that they'll be comforted. That's not the end. It's that we'll be planted as oaks, mighty oaks, strong oaks of righteousness that bless out into the world. And again, that's our theme, right? We're blessed with God's comfort so that we can be a blessing out in the world. And so that image from Isaiah is one of an oak of righteousness, of doing what is right in God's eyes, of extending God's goodness and rightness into the world. So notice what God does. God comforts and God plants, right? God hears us and God sends us. God sees us and has a mission for us. You might not be ready for that. If you're grieving, if you're angry, it's okay this morning just to hear the part that God sees you and God hears you and God would comfort you. Right? Look for ways, and how does that happen? Look for ways to bring that emotion to God, to say, God, here's what's going on and how I feel about it. And if you think, you know, God can't handle that feeling or the language that stirs up, just set that aside. I mean, there's nothing you could say to God that's not already in the Bible, in Psalms, of people saying to God how angry they are, impatient, or weeping, or fed up. Give it to God. And Jesus says, you'll be blessed because God will comfort you. God sees you and God hears you. And then the mission part, I'll just say it this way. Don't be surprised that if you experience God's blessing of comforting you, that God doesn't also give you an opportunity to bless someone else in that way. And that leads me to where we end up each week with this series, is a blessing challenge. I would challenge you to not go to sleep tonight until you have thought of one way that God has blessed you. Again, remembering that blessing is not our idea of what is good. Got a new car this week. I didn't, but that's an example. But blessing is what God says lines up with his will and his word. So in this today, he says, one blessing is if you're mourning and you give that to God and God comforts you. So maybe that's one you can identify with, and that would be great each week if the one we talk about is you realize, I am blessed. I admit it. I am mourning something. And God, I recognize, and I've offered that to God, and I have experienced God's comfort. I understand not everyone will connect every week, so if not, think of another way that God has blessed you. Maybe it's with a sense of his love or his presence, or last week with the humility that we talked about. But that's the Sunday assignment, and then try not to go to bed without thinking of some way God has blessed you. And then for the rest of the week, until we meet again, see if there's not an opportunity that God sets before you to bless another person in that same way. Because there's nothing that will fuel and motivate that desire to bless others like experiencing the blessing yourself, right? I mean, God has forgiven me so much. How can I not then forgive, my little sister or my spouse or my next door neighbor or the person I work for, etc.? Or God has comforted me. Is there someone who I can speak those words of healing and comfort into their life?